breeze. "Just a little sting," he said, as if she were 9 years old. "There, now that's better, isn't it?" "No," she'd wanted to say. "It's not better. It's never better and never will be, because the world stinks, and the clap stinks, and so do needles and prissy nurses and sour-faced condescending MDs and all the rest of it, too." But she just opened up her smile and said, "Yeah." She was tired of every dress in the closet. Or no, not just tired, sick to death of them, all of them. The hangers clacked like miniature freight cars as she rattled through them twice, shivering in her slip and nylons, her feet all but frozen to the linoleum. "Christ," she said to herself, "Jesus Christ, what the hell difference does it make?" And she reached angrily for a red crepe de chine with a plunging neckline she hadn't worn in a year, and pulled it over her head and smoothed it across her hips, figuring it would provide about as much protection from the cold as a swimsuit. She'd just have to keep the cloth coat buttoned up to her throat, and though it was ugly as sin, she'd wear the red and green checked scarf her mother had knitted her. What she really needed, what she deserved, and what Eddie or somebody should give her, and give her soon, was a fur. A gust threw pellets of ice against the window pane. For a moment, she held the picture of herself in a fur, and not some chintzy mink stole, but a full-length silver fox. And then it dissolved. A fur. Yeah, sure, she wasn't exactly holding her breath. The hallway smelled like shit, literally. And as he stomped the slush off his shoes and bent to wipe the uppers with the paper towels he'd nicked from the men's room at Benji's, where he'd stopped to fortify himself with two rye whiskeys and a short beer, he wondered what exactly went on the ground floor when they weren't recording. Or maybe when they were. Neff would press just about anything anybody wanted to put out, whether it was boogie-woogie, race records, or that rock and roll crap, and who knew how many junkies and pillheads came in and out of the place so stewed they couldn't bother to find the bathroom. He took off his hat, set it on the extinct radiator, and ran both hands through his hair. There was a slice of broken glass in a picture frame on the wall, and that at least gave him back his reflection, though it was shadowy and indistinct, as if he'd already given up the ghost. For a moment there, patting his hair back into place while he stared down the dim tunnels of his eyes, he had a fleeting intimation of his own mortality. He was 38, and not getting any younger, his father 10 years dead and his mother fading fast. Before long, it would be just him and his sister and one old wraith-like spinster aunt, Aunt Marta, left on this earth. And then he'd be an old man in baggy pants, staring at the gum spots on the sidewalk. But suddenly, the door opened behind him, and he turned round on a girl in a cloth coat, and he was a mortal all over again. "Oh, hi, Johnny," she said, and then she gave the door a look and leaned back into it to slam it shut. "God, it's brutal out there." At first, he didn't recognize her. That sort of thing happened to him more and more lately, it seemed, and he told himself he had to cut back on the booze and reefer. Reefer was the worst, sponging your brain clean so you couldn't recognize your own face in the mirror. He'd come into some joint, a bar, a club, his manager's office, and there'd be somebody there he hadn't expected, somebody transposed from some other scene altogether, and he'd have to fumble round his greeting to give himself a minute or two to reel his brain back in. "Darlene," he said now. "Darlene Delmar. Wow! I haven't seen you in, what, years? Or months, anyway, right?" She was wearing sunglasses, though it was as dark as night outside, and there was some sort of welt or blemish under the left lens, right at the cheekbone. She gave him a thin smile. "6 months ago, Cincinnati on, what was that station, W-something." "Oh, yeah," he said, faking it. "Yeah, good times, huh? But how you been keeping?" A rueful smile, a shrug. He could smell her perfume, a faint, fleeting whiff of flowers blooming in a green field under a sun that brought the sweat out on the back of your neck. Spring, summer, Florida. But the odor of the streets drove it down. "Oh, as well as can be expected, I guess. If I could get more work, like in a warmer climate, you know what I mean." She shook out her hair, stamped her feet to knock the slush off her heels, and he couldn't help looking at her ankles, her legs, the way the coat parted to reveal the flesh there. "It's been tough all over," he said, just to say something. "My manager? I've got a new manager, did I tell you that? Or how could I, since I haven't seen you in 6 months?" She trailed off, gave a little laugh, then dug into her purse for her cigarettes. "Anyway, he says things will look up after the new year, definitely. He was talking about maybe sending me out to L.A., or Vegas, maybe." He was trying to remember what he'd heard about her. Somebody had knocked her up and she'd had a backroom abortion and there'd been complications. Or no, that wasn't her. That was the girl who'd made a big splash 2 years back with that novelty record. The blonde, what was her name? Then it came